Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the broadcast. This is yours truly, the Apostle V.W. Jones Sr., right here on the Proceeding Word. So glad and elated to be with you today. It's another day that Yahweh, our Elohim, hath made. I will. You should. Come on, let's do it together. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. That's right, the day. We are so close to Sabbath. The day of rest, the day that Yahweh our Elohim has given unto us to rest in him, to embrace the things of him, to thoroughly and literally become what he's required of us to be. That's right, his own and true servants. I don't know about you, but every time I get opportunity to rest in him, I try to take it. I do take it. Sometimes things of our life, because of how we've cultured it, make it difficult for us to make that happen. But you know what? At the end of the day, once you realize how important the Father is, you let everything just go to the side, that you might be with he who is the most important element of our entirety of life. His spirit, his presence, it means so much to rest in him, to be with him, to be a part of him. Never let anything take you away from getting closer to him. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of Yahweh, he is my refuge, he is my fortress, he is my God. In him will I trust. This is the truth. There is none like him in all the earth, and you are dynamically, uniquely, and specially. Isn't that a wonderful thing? To know that you belong to him. There is nothing greater than to know that one so powerful has got you covered in every way possible to let you know, I am yours, you are mine, and no one can snatch you out of my hand. He is holy, he is reverent, he is awesome, he is provider, he is healer, he is your provisions, he is your sanctification, he is your righteousness. He is the all in all. Wonderful is he. Marvelous is he. That's what they used to sing years ago. Wonderful is he. Marvelous is he. Yes. It's a wonderful thing to know how dynamic and how much he loves.
You have reached the maximum time permitted to record. To send your message,
so
press 1 at any time.
To
listen
sure
to your message, press.
I am so sorry for the technical difficulties that we just had, but one of the things we were trying to explain and express to those of you that are with us and viewing on today and listening in on today is that there is no God anywhere on this planet that man has concocted, conjured up, and brought into existence like the God of our salvation, because he is the great and the only true and living Elohim. And to have him, the Almighty, El Elyon, El Rohi, El Gabor, El Olam, the all-sufficient one, El Shaddai, to be and cover you is the most awesome thing mankind could ever hope for, imagine, or even attempt to embrace. I don't know about you, but it gets me excited every time I think about just how much he loves us. Yeah, he really does. He didn't make it a game. He made it real. He put himself on the line. He said, I will provide myself a sacrifice. I myself will create and provide a sacrifice that will come into the world, put on the form of sinful flesh, live just like you live, and then allow you to see how to walk out my plan for your life just as I intended. He wasn't just going to come and tell you what to do. He came, put on the form of sinful flesh, and showed us how to live. Yes, every place that is considered dark and every place that is considered difficult and every place that is considered emotional and every place that is considered harsh for us, Yahweh himself took it upon himself by putting it on his son to show us how to live the things and the ways that he has always intended for mankind to live. I don't know of any other person. I see they do this show on TV called The Undercover Boss. I think this was the greatest and the most true form or the epitome of being the undercover boss, because Adonai, the son of Elohim, came into the earthen realm, put on sinful flesh, and in the form of sin, in the form of the flesh, he showed us how to live according to the spirit life he's always intended. And the spirit life that was actually created to give us what we consider to be a leading for our souls, a leading for our lives, and all that we've encountered. The word of Elohim is true. The word of Elohim is faithful. The word of Elohim has never, ever lied. This is the beauty of who he is and why I give him such praise. And the reason for why I'm so excited. Sabbath is upon us. Hallelujah. It's an awesome thing. Sabbath is upon us, the time of rest, and all of our thoughts and all of our processing, all of our emotions, all of our feelings, and all that we have engineered and concocted and all that we have planned and put forth and projected comes before him when we come before him on this day, the day of Sabbath, the day that has been always there since and before. For man even took responsibility for why he was created. This day, Sabbath, was even before man began to till the ground. It has always been and always will be the day that Yahweh has made for humanity. He didn't make this day for the earth. He made this day, the seventh day, the Sabbath. He made this day for the manager of the earth. Isn't that just dynamic? Isn't that just unique? Isn't that just an awesome understanding of provision that he takes after he's made the earth and all that man would need to live in the earth, then makes man for the earth, and then makes a day for the man he has managing the earth. And we blow by this dynamic benefit. We blow through this provision of divine order as if there is something greater we should be doing on that day. I don't know. A nail spa? I don't know. Finding some football game, soccer game, basketball game, I don't know, going shopping, I don't know, hanging out with the fellas or hanging out with the girlfriends or having a mad money day, as they call them back in the day. I don't know, but there's nothing greater that we as humanity, saved or not, could ever do. Nothing greater than to rest with him on this 24-hour period of time. We're about to hit, that's right, sundown today. I don't know what time sundown is for you, but let me ask Siri. Siri, what time is sundown today where I'm at? Siri, what time is sundown today? She's going to give me an answer. All right. So at the end of the day, Siri's going to tell me as soon as I tell her where I'm at. You know, she's going to let me know. But if you already know, I want you to embrace it. I'm going to help you. I'm going to take the time. I'm going to be the guinea pig. We're going to find out when sundown is today. It's about 8. I think it's like about 8:12. But I want to make sure that it's accurate. So when you, this information, you yourself will be able to know when sundown is wherever you are. Go find out. Everybody's got a way of getting it. Got enough information on the internet, you can find out. Let me help you with this. Siri, when is sundown today? Hold on. She's telling me in a minute. She's going to tell me. All right. She's still registering. I have to give her a moment to register. But I'll find out what time sundown is. Like I say, it's about 8:12, 8:13. It might be about 8:20 by now, but around 8 to 8:30 is sundown. I'm going to give you the exact minute, not long from now, but we want to discuss why this time is so important. The book of Ecclesiastes is so, so quoted, but in many cases, it's not understood in its pureness and its essence. Many of us says, oh, there's a time and a season for everything. We go to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 3, and we start reading it as if we really understand it. But I really want to take a moment on this day, the day before Sabbath, the day of Erev Sabbath, and I really want us to look at what he says here. Look at what he says in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 3. I'm going there right now, and I'm going to get Siri online sooner. Actually, I want to go to Ecclesiastes chapter 3 is where I want to go, not 12, chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, listen. Listen to your Bible. This is the King James Version for those of you who may have different translations. I love all translations, but the King James translation sort of kind of does more of what we need done than we can imagine. So in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter number 12, Chapter 3. It indicts these words. It says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heavens. Listen. There is a time to be born. There is a time to die. There is a time to plant. There is a time to pluck up that which is planted. There is a time to kill and a time to heal. There is a time to break down and a time to build up. There is a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep, a time to rend, a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit has he that works in that wherein he labors? But what he is saying here is that there is a time and a season to everything. Go back to verse number 1. There is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. So what are we trying to get to? Well, let's look at this. Go to Genesis chapter 2. We always do this every Sabbath because I want you to get this. Genesis chapter 2 should be so ingrained in your psyche and in your head and in your mind that there's no way you ever remove yourself from knowing this, and it doesn't come out of your brain. It just stays there. It maturates, it saturates, and it keeps coming out of you like crazy. Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. Listen. This is after Yahweh has created the heavens and the earth. This is after he has blessed the sea and blessed those creatures on the earthen realm. He says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished. This is day six. This is day six, the end of day six. He says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, all the host of them. So technically, in the time span you and I are presently listening to this broadcast, right now, if you are live with me right now, this moment, not you that are archived, I'm talking about those that are live on this broadcast, you right now are standing in the time frame in which this begins to happen. Yeah, you are. He is in the time frame that this is the sixth day. In this very time space, Adam was created. Wow. Right now, in these hours of sun up is when man, Adam, was made. Now, in the next hours to come, which is called sundown, he then, on the sixth day, after he made man, which we are in literally the sixth day that the Bible's talking about, you are in, thus right now, you are in the sixth day. That's right, from Thursday at sundown on your Gregorian calendar until Friday at sundown on your Gregorian calendar is the sixth day. And we are so far past the half of the day that we only have a few hours before sundown of the new day begins. That's right, daytime doesn't start at midnight. It does not. No, it doesn't start at dawn. No. The new day begins at the end of what we call our day. It begins at the sundown. The actual day begins in darkness. It doesn't begin when the sun rises. The new day, hallelujah, begins in what's called the prime time. It begins in the spirit and the season of darkness, whereas everything can come together, stay close, get its instructions, and then when the sun bursts forth on the plain, everything that got instructions while listening to Yahweh in the night, dreaming about what was spoken into their spirit, can wake up with that anticipation. That's why when you don't go to sleep at night,
you cause yourself to not have the instructions of Elohim in your life. Did you know that? Yeah, I had a difficult sleep last night myself for whatever reason, because I was in prayer and in study. But and I was also dealing with a matter. But at the end of the day, when you don't get rest, and this is what Yahweh says, he says, I will give my servants sweet sleep. And it's not that I couldn't sleep, it's just that I was very intent about trying to find out biblically what the word says about X and so. So while I'm studying and I'm in prayer and I'm reading this piece about, okay, why does this happen? Why is this going on? Why does that take place? Why is this? Show me in the rich. Show me through the concordance. Show me through prayer. Show me through understanding what is going on. This is what the word came across, and it says, he will give his servants sweet sleep. Now listen, this is important. When you and I don't sleep, and dark is when we sleep. Remember the Bible says that light has come, every man should work while it is day. For when night comes, no man can work. Why? Because according to the book, when sundown comes, you and I are to be with Elohim every day in the cool of the day. So when we talk about Adam and Eve, when they were in the garden, the Bible declares that every cool of the day, chapter 3 of Genesis says in the cool of the day, that Yahweh would meet with them every day in the cool of the day, along with the seventh day of the week. But every other day in the cool of the day, Elohim would meet, Adonai would meet with that which he had created. And then the one day after they had failed and they had eaten the fruit that was forbidden, they went and tried to sew, you know, fig leaves together and protect and hide themselves and act like God couldn't see them. And it's like, well, you know, the Bible says they heard the Lord, they heard the word walking in the garden. And the word says, Adam, where are you? We're over here. Okay, let's get off of that story. But here's the piece we want to talk about. When you realize that the time you're standing in right now, if you're live on this broadcast, the time you are standing in right now is the time that mankind was made back in Genesis chapter 1, and it is also the physical, literal time of Genesis chapter 2. Look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. Thus, on the sixth day, at the end of the sixth day, which we are nearing in just a few short hours. Hold on, I didn't get my answer from Siri yet. Hold on a second, let's get this right. I need my co-host to hurry up with me here. When is sundown today? So what we talk about, hold on. When is sundown today? All right. So at the end of the day, Siri is still not answering my questions. But I believe it's about 8:15, 8:12. It'll pop up. It'll show me in just a few moments if my engineer can help me get that piece together. All right. So listen closely. In this day, this space of time, these hours you are in, if you are in the Eastern Hemisphere, which is where I'm at, in the Eastern, the Western Hemisphere, I'm on the East Coast, and in the EST, Eastern Standard Time, it is approximately 1:24. So in about 7 hours, I think around this time, 7 hours from now, we will be dealing with sundown. Probably right on by 8:24. I think it's going to be 8:24 that sundown is today. But wherever you are, when 8:24 hits, or whenever they tell you by your farmer's almanac that the moon and the sun have made their transition, one's rising, one's setting, you are in sundown. At the moment of sundown, this day today, the sixth day, you will enter into the seventh day, and that seventh day is a 24-hour period of time that Yahweh desires and wants and craves for his creation to come and set with him. I was alluding to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, not necessarily on the seventh day, but on every day, when Yahweh would meet with them, when Adonai, I should say, the word, would meet with them in the garden in the cool of the day. The cool of the day is always when the sun has gone down. Now, here's an interesting piece, because the cool of the day is when the sun has gone down and before the sun rises. So when is that cool? Guess what? It's at the beginning of the created day. Help you with this. I'm going to come back to Genesis chapter 2 in just a moment, but let's go to Genesis chapter number 1, and we'll pull up We'll pull up verse number 5. And Elohim called the light day, and he called the darkness night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. So watch this closely. The evening, when is the evening? The evening is whenever the sun goes down. That begins the first day. That is the beginning of the day that Yahweh has scheduled, planned, intended, and engineered before the foundations of the world. How dare man, in his assumed brilliance, take the opportunity to change, for convenience sake, the way that Yahweh says we should function and live. And it's an interesting thing because many, many, many years and centuries ago, and matter of fact, decades ago, we actually were a bit more conducive to the way Yahweh wanted things done. But when big business and capitalism and major free enterprising took place, we became victim to what we call customer service and demand and supply. And so we have stores opened on Sabbath where they used to not be open on Saturday. I don't know if you remember back some years ago when I'm dating myself, but I think that everybody can, most can relate, that back in the 70s, I'll say this, I remember that outside of sporting events like the baseball games, the Little League, Farm League baseball games, and or the little football games, the little people football games, all of those type of family events would take place. And the stores were technically closed. You seldom saw a gas station open. You seldom saw a repair shop open. You seldom saw a grocery store opened on Saturdays. Everybody would rush in my time, and this was back in the 70s. This is what I knew from the region I lived in. Most of the stores were closed. It wasn't until later that Saturdays was a day that you had a lot of events in the parks, a lot of events at the church picnics. You had baseball, softball games where people just came together. They barbecued. Even if they weren't Torah observant per se, there was still a reverence for that time slot. So from Friday at sundown until Saturday at sundown, everybody would be getting prepared after Saturday for church the next day, but everybody sort of revered that space, and we never knew why. And then some industrial people began to question, and then you had big box service stores begin to say, well, look, there can be money made on this day. How many people are, home on Saturday and there's no store open? So the hardware store began to open up and say, hey, look, if the house breaks down, somebody needs to be able to get a hammer, And all of a sudden it made logical sense that, hey, there's business opportunities we're missing by being closed Saturday mornings. So, yeah, everybody went out Friday. It's the end of the work week. Everybody rests. Most companies stopped working on the weekends. Everybody, just about everybody, had the weekend off. There used to be a time when nobody had a time or a problem making church on Sundays. This is what I remember. This is what I know. This is not some improbable. This is real. I remember everybody being off on the weekend. Very few people, maybe truckers, and I do mean like over-the-road truckers, but even they were designed to be back home by the weekend. Everybody was, we're going to wait till the weekend. All right, I see you at the park on the weekend. Okay, I see you at the basketball court on the weekend. All of this became real. It became relevant. It became evident that there was some intrinsic revering of this space of time. And then suddenly, as always, the enemy realizes that man does not know why he reveres that time, that he, like he did with Eve in the garden, she didn't know why she was not to test the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And when he tested her, he said, hey, did not God say, Eve, that you should not touch this tree or eat this tree? She said, yeah. God said we should not touch it, nor should we eat it, or we should not eat it, nor should we touch it. He's like, yeah, you don't really know. And that's when the manipulation kicked in. That's when the game of charade kicked in. And he began to deal with her and talk with her in a sense that, hey, you can touch this tree, right? You think he said you shouldn't touch the tree? No. That's not what he said. He said you shouldn't eat the tree, but she didn't have a solid enough answer. So the enemy used what she thought she knew, and from there, this caused for her to be played with about the word. And so the enemy says, see, you can touch it. It's good for food. It's good for food. Go ahead and touch it. You're not going to die. Well, he didn't say if you don't touch it, you're going to die. He said if you eat it, you will die. So, again, man here in the garden, like man back in the 70s, early 70s, when I'm reminiscing and recollecting for you all, man didn't know why he was revering that space of time called Friday at sundown until Saturday at sundown. So when challenged and when actually quizzed, man did not have an appropriate response. Logic kicked in. People began to say, hey, you know what? Yeah, there are times when I'm sitting home and I got to wait till Monday for the garage to open, and I got to wait until Monday for the supermarket to open, and I needed bread or milk because I ran out. And, you know, and so the polling groups, what do you call those people? The PR groups of companies would say, hey, we're getting complaints that people are saying, hey, if you were open, you'd made some money this day. I had family come in town. I was unprepared, and I could have really, you know, used some products you had there, and if you were open, you know, you'd have made some money. So someone started listening, and it just made logical sense. You know, why are we closed on Saturday? People still want to spend money on Saturday. People still want to do things on Saturday. And at the end of the day, man, because he did not know why, he reverenced his time space. Logic filled it in, and guess what? The time of Sabbath from Friday at sundown until Saturday at sundown since the 70s, meticulously and neatly chipped away. And man now says, why did we ever do that? Now we're not just working through the weekends. Now we're working, listen. We're working 24 hours a day. We are the city, and now we are the world that never sleeps. So if we don't get sleep, this is deep. If we don't learn to get sleep, if we don't learn to rest with him in the cool of the day and at the seventh day of the week, we are not fellowshipping with him in spirit, in soul, in mind, in body, and in literal person. And therefore, we wonder why we don't get answers to much of our issues. Getting sleep in the cool of the day. See, let me help somebody else with something here. Let me show you. Verse 5, Genesis chapter 1. I'm just going to read the Bible, and then I'm going to talk about it. And Elohim called light day, and then he called darkness night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Mm-hmm. Then we find out that when Yahweh made the first day, he would always begin the next day immediately thereafter. Now, here's where it gets deep. After he's done that, he's created the 6 days. He's then created the seventh day for man so he could rest from the 6 days he's worked. Inside of each day, he's also placed a cool of the day, meaning a time when man could be resuscitated and rejuvenated in a temporary form. So Genesis chapter 3, if you follow it properly, now the serpent was more subtle than most of the beasts of the field. Now, he says in verse 1, and he said to the woman, let me move on from that. I don't want to do that. What do I want to be with this? Let's go here. There we go. Let's go to verse number 5. For Elohim does know, he's talking to Eve, the serpent is, Satan is. He says, for Elohim does know that in the day that you eat the fruit thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods. You'll be knowing good from evil. Now watch this next piece, because it becomes interesting. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant for sight to the eyes, and the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and she did eat. She also gave it to her husband, who was right there with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and they made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of Yahweh our Elohim walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of Yahweh our Elohim among the trees of the garden. Now, you know the rest of the story. He cries out to Adam, Adam, where are you? Now, remember, you hear the voice, verse 8, the voice of Yahweh our Elohim walking in the garden in the cool of the day, which means this is customary. This is a time that was customary for them to come together and to coagulate together. And so when Yahweh our Elohim, the voice of Yahweh our Elohim, now the voice of Yahweh our Elohim is Adonai. Again, remember, Yahweh is God the Father. Elohim is God in totality. Adonai is God the Son. Ruach HaKodesh is God the Holy Spirit. So the voice of Yahweh our Elohim is his Son, who is the speaking spirit, who is the Word, who is Adonai. So when you read this passage, verse 8 says, the voice of Yahweh our Elohim was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. So Adonai was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Again, proof that Yahweh, our Elohim, I should say Adonai, the Word of Elohim, was walking in the garden. And the time he would walk in the garden was at a time that man should be resting. So that in the process of man resting, he is unwinding from the previous instructions and the fulfillment of those instructions the day prior to receive a check on what was done. And we can also not just assume, but rightfully apply new instructions for the next day we're given. Because Yahweh's always said, I'll do a new thing in you. If you're still living off the old instructions from yesterday, it's time for you to spend some quality time with Yahweh in the cool of the day. Get out of your heat and get out of your frustration. Get out of your work and your grind and come and sit down and be in his presence and let him soothe away your hurt, soothe away your ailments, soothe away your pain in the cool of his presence. Hallelujah. So every day in the cool of the day, the Word would come to Adam and Eve. Listen, this is for you. You get this too. Every day in the cool of your day, once you've done the work that you have dreamed and engineered to do, sit with Elohim in the cool of the day and watch. Watch his Word come and soothe your heart, soothe your mind, grant you the type of peace that passes all understanding. It's such a wonderful, and my thing is a dynamic thing for us to understand and embrace. Now, I want to say this before we move on, because Sabbath is so important to us. When you look at the cool of the day, according to Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, the voice of Yahweh our Elohim, the Adonai, is walking in the cool of the day. And Adam and Eve are always usually right where they are found, in the garden, in the cool of the day. This is what we call sundown, because that's the evening, until it's time for man to sleep. Now, stay close. The Bible says man should work while it is day, meaning daylight. For night comes, especially when there were no street lamps, there were no lanterns, there was no real fire per se, to light the way, meaning when it got dark in Adam's day, you couldn't see nothing. It was dark. You couldn't see the hand in front of your face unless the moon was shining through and or the stars were hanging low enough and the earth was in a certain rotation. But outside of that, it was entirely too dark to do any kind of work. So all you could do was wait until sunlight came. Listen. And when sunlight would come, it would be hours after sunlight rested. Now, in that sunlightless period of time, you have darkness. You have cool, because when the sun's not up, it's cooler. So this time is sundown, evening, until morning. That space of time, listen, in the beginning of the sun going down, we are still very active. We are winding down from what we did in the sun. And as we wind down from what we did in the sun, the cool of the day would become a massage. The words of our Messiah, of our Adonai, would become a healer and an antidote and a balm and a quickening for our flesh, for our spirit man, for our instructions. And so in that period of time when the sun goes down, that was when Yahweh would come and sit with his creation. I'm going to say it again on purpose. I know it's boring some of you, but you're going to get it in a minute. Don't get fooled. At sundown and the onset of darkness, we call that dusk, is when Yahweh would come down and talk to mankind. Now, listen closely. That is the first hours of the new day. Oh, that's deep. Stay close. We're not done yet. Stay here. That is the first hours of the new day. So the first would mean primo or primary, or that would be called prime time. Because it's the first hours of the new day. So technically, for about 5 hours, 3, 5, 4 hours of the first hours of the new day, Yahweh would come to set instructions for the new day. Hallelujah. Now, even then, I believe this was called prime time. Now, let's fast forward quickly so we can all sort of make the connection here. What do we call prime time? Wow, if you listen to Hollywood and Pencilltown and listen to the sports and ESPN and Fox and MSNBC and CNN and all of the AP, the Associated Press, prime time is the hours between 7 p.m. and 11 p.m. 4 hours in the beginning of the cool of the day. And because our day doesn't end and start the way Yahweh's day does, we don't see the kidnapping. Oh, yeah. Because we even call it the prime time. When you look up, we used to have what was called a TV guide. Now you don't have that today, but they would say in the prime time of the day. And it would show you all the best entertainment because everybody was getting done work because you couldn't work at night at that time. So the prime time for television to be seen and radio to be heard was when people were home sitting around eating and needing something to keep them entertained. So that was prime time. Movies were displayed, released during prime time. Basketball events, football events, baseball events were broadcast during the prime time of the day. To this day, we still have that phraseology, and it's called the prime time. It was prime time because it was hijacked from its intent. So what the enemy has done very sneakily, very humanity has willingly done this. We've willingly allowed this to happen because we just do not study to show ourselves proof. This time from 7 to 11, listen, is supposed to be designed by Elohim, according to Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, to receive instructions from the voice of Yahweh our Elohim, to, once we hear it from 7 to 11, go to sleep on it from 11 until 6 a.m. That's 8 hours, 7 hours of sleep. And then we awake when the sun comes up to fulfill what we were told to do in prime time. Listen again. So from 7 or sundown until about 11, maybe 11:30, 10, maybe 12 o'clock at night, we are basking in his word, getting instructions for the next day. Then, after the instructions have been given, he would let us go to sleep with his words on our mind. Oh, this is so good. And when his word is left on our minds and we go to sleep, the last thing you heard is what your mind will continue to play over and over again, so that when you wake up, those words from 7 until 11 have been marinating for 7 hours from 11 until 6 in your body, in your mind, in your psyche, while you were asleep. That's like we do when we marinate meat. We go ahead and put the garlic in and get the rosemary and get the thyme and get the turmeric and get the Worcestershire sauce, whatever it is we're putting on that particular, whatever the base is, and we let it saturate the salt, the pepper, the onions, the whatever it is, and we the rosemary, and we rub it in to the meat, and then we leave the meat to set for hours so that it can actually absorb what we put on it. And Yahweh does that with the prime times of the day. So if we really do this the way it was intended to be done, we would always give him the cool of the day, and we would rest in him. That's right. We would look to hear his words in that season, in that space of time. And when he talks for 3 to 5 hours, and we're in his word and in prayer for 3 to 5 hours, by the time we get up from that time with him, life starts to make more sense. And then we say, you know what? Well, can't do much more now. Let me go to sleep. And then you begin to rest. And because you got 4, 3, 5 hours of word and prayer and time with him in, you will have sweet sleep. And then once you've had that sweet sleep, you wake up in the morning dreaming about what the word said in prime time. And what the word said in prime time, your mind wakes up to accomplish that. And now you are victorious because you will be doing in those hours what his word said to do. You won't have time, listen, to watch in prime time other things that are not of him. But whatever you take in during your prime time becomes your primary function when you wake up with the first hours of daylight. So, listen closely. If you sat up watching Freddy Krueger, if you sat up watching Scandal, you sat up watching all types of debauchery and garbage intaking, then that garbage becomes your marination. You become the meat. And whatever you're marinating, if it's fear, if it's, you know, if it's garbage, you're going to be marinating that while you're sleeping. It's the last thing you heard. It's the last thing you did before you went to sleep. Some of us go to sleep with the TV on. And we're watching debauchery. We're watching Murder, She Wrote. We're watching Power, Empire. We're watching Scandal. We're watching How to Get Away with Murder. We're watching all of these things. We're watching gory movies, vampire movies, blood and dragons and demons and ghosts and all this garbage that we're allowing to pour on us through that television while we are sleeping. And because your flesh is sleeping, doesn't mean your soul is. See, Yahweh uses the prime time and the hours for dream state to communicate to mankind. See, because when your flesh is asleep, that's the best time Yahweh can speak into your spirit, man. But if you have allowed in your prime time for garbage to be your intake, you have no taste or desire or delight to seek his word. You may think I should do, but when you don't do, you're really saying I'm not really interested. So therefore, when you go to sleep in the prime time of your day with the garbage of our present prime time entertainment programming, you want to get what you do from. You want to do the things of this world. You want to work and walk in things of this world. I was guilty of it. Still can be at any moment falling asleep with some other form of entertainment. That's why now I go to bed. I go to bed with the word. I do. I go to bed with the word on tape. I go to bed with the word on my iPad. I have my iPad or my iPhone, and I'll just have it play on my computer. Just play the word. So while I'm sleeping, the word is what's playing in my psyche. The word is what's marinating in my psyche. Some nights I forget, but the majority of the night, at least 5 out of 7 days of the week, I am asleep with the word playing in my psyche. If the battery dies on it, or it gets a hit, or the internet loss or something like that, and then it stops. But the last thing I was listening to for hours before I awoke in the sunlight was his word. And see, that is how you get the word in you. That's how you begin to unconsciously learn the word, so that when in conscious state, the word can come out of you. See, because that's all Ruach HaKodesh needs. He only needs for you and I to ingest the word, to digest the word, to get the word in you, no matter how you do it. Ear gate, eye gate, sleep state. Just get the word in you. And when you are awake and a situation should arise, the Holy Spirit, Ruach HaKodesh, can go down into the library that your mind has subconsciously developed and pull out the word that you need to address that situation with. That's exciting stuff to me. I don't know if anybody else is as excited about that as I am, that there are innate processes that we sometimes do not activate because we are just not aware that he has a plan that actually works. But in order to know it, we have to know him and how he functions and operates. And he functions and operates when you and I embrace the word in prime time. What is prime time, Apostle? Prime time, again, is from sundown of every day until about 11, 12 o'clock. Yep. Because I think it's interesting how the enemy has hijacked that space of time. That's when all of our greatest award shows, that's when mankind puts on its greatest acts of entertainment. We do movies, we do wining, we do dining, people date during those hours, people take their spouses out on dates, people take their children out on events, people go out on the town, dress the town, get drunk on these hours, they get dressed up with someplace to go during these hours, they're going to the movies during this hour, they're going to the skating rinks during these hours, they're going to championship events during these hours, they go to the casinos during these hours. It's funny how prime time has been inundated with so many different options to keep man in an ADD and an ADH state of mind. And then we wonder why we wake up, listen, aimlessly in the morning. Wake up not knowing, man, I don't know what I'm going to do today. Because you didn't sit with him during prime time where he could set your instructions. You were out doing everything the world said was good to do. Come, let us drink, let us be merry, let us paint the town red, let us go. And you never took time in the cool of the day to sit with Yahweh so he could set your day when the sun came up. And then we awake in the morning saying, oh, I feel blue. Oh, it's moan day. Oh, it's hump day. I can't wait till Friday. Why? Because you've been saturating yourself with everything that Friday represents. So when we take prime time seriously, we'll take Sabbath seriously. Because once you do something in the course of your day naturally, it'll become easier to do it purposefully in the course of your week. I hope that this has been of help to someone today. Because it's important to give Yahweh the prime time of your day. No, it's not the first hours when you wake up. The church, the Christian church, has been so blindsided. We've been, I think Malcolm X said, hoodwinked, bamboozled, led astray, run amok. Because we think, oh, you get up in the morning, and about 4 a.m. in the morning, I pray. I'll get up around 3 and pray and study. And sometimes it keeps me up. But it's because now between the hours of 8 and 11, I'll forego a lot of the entertainment that I used to really love to do just to hear his word, and then I'll watch it on a rerun, or if it's entertainment I really want to see, or the sporting events I want to see, I'll go back and check the highlights on it. But now at this stage in life, you begin to really desire his word. And when you desire it in the way he engineered it, it causes you to mature so much more valuably than we could ever imagine. Oh, Apostle, don't take all that. Just get up 6 o'clock in the morning and start studying the Bible. And don't matter how much time you put in, just put in time. You know, to everything, there's a season and time to every purpose under the heavens. Don't take it lightly. That the prime time of your day was designed to be his. Because if he came down in the cool of the day to talk to Adam, you and I are the offspring of Adam. I believe he wants to still talk with us in the prime time of our day and thereby allow us to understand time of our week is the seventh day. So consider as you enter into the seventh day Sabbath. Sundown today. I still didn't get my answer from Siri. Let's see if she'll try it again. Get it to us. When is sundown tonight? All right. She's still having some computer problems, but I believe it's around 8:24 today. 8:24 today. For sundown, you need you. Hope that you would consider blocking off the 24 hours from sundown Friday until sundown Saturday and enjoy the Sabbath day of rest. Repent for your sins, your thoughts and ideas and mindsets, anything that is contrary to Elohim's desire for your life, and allow him to literally talk with you. Open his word. Don't open it so you can find something to read. Open it so what's in it can speak to you. Open it because this is how Yahweh speaks to us. Well, I heard the voice of God and God talked to me. Yahweh is only going to talk to you through his word. He's got nothing else to say to you that is not already in his word. So please, give him 24 hours of your day, of your week. Give him 24 hours of your week from sundown today till sundown Saturday. Don't take any secular entertainment into your system. Don't take anything that is drama-filled people, cousins, families, close brothers and sisters, friends, anybody who's full of drama. Just purposefully stay away from them today. Shut yourself in so it's just you, your loved family, and his word. There is entertainment now that is Christian-based, as we say, biblically based entertainment. There are movies, there are shows that you can watch. There's even comedians. Thou shalt laugh 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. There are great Christian comedians. There are great Christian concerts, Bible-based concerts, Bible-based documentaries, Bible-based movies, Esther, One Night with the King, you know, David and Solomon, Jacob and Joseph and Aaron and all those things. There's so much biblical entertainment you can get. It's as simple as going online. You can go to Netflix. You can go to Hulu. You can go anywhere and get something biblically based. Watch it. You ain't got to be not entertained because we've been cultured to be entertained. And open your Bible while you're watching the show, and follow the storyline of the show with your Bible. You'll be surprised how growth puts you of its word. Well, there is so much more to know and learn. I hope that you've had a good time. I hope that you've understood the word. The word of God is true. He loves you because he loves you. I love you as well. May his grace keep you. Shabbat shalom.
The Bible declares, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as some is. We therefore ask you now, do you have a church home? Are you in proper fellowship at a home of worship that explains and expresses the word of God with clarity? We want to invite you to come today. Join us at 3155 South John Young Parkway right here in the beautiful city of Orlando, Florida. Every Sunday at 10:15 a.m. Eastern Standard Time and 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every Wednesday night. Listen, if you're in the city, we'd like for you to join us. We want to make you our VIP this next service. Join us. Become a part of a team, a ministry that is growing in grace through the knowledge of properly applied word and thereby growing you into new faith of why you exist on the earth. Until we get opportunity to meet again, you are already a king and a queen. Therefore, we say to you, Shalom.